April 29th. April
29th. Radio.
I'm the Bill Russell, man. Did you hear about that?
I'm devastated. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. Crazy. You ready?
Yes.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you tonight. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about Haseem Rahman Jr. eating his way out of a shot against Jake Paul. That's right, Beeb. He's your boy. Beeb, you're muted. You're muted, son. Nobody can hear you.
That's blasphemous.
Oh, that's cold-blooded, man. Look, you can't make weight. Look, you can't make weight.
It is best.
You got Weight Watchers out there. What's that other one they got? They got that the Nutrisystem. What's the other one? They got that those keto things you can eat. You know, they got all kind of stuff. You got Mike Dolce out there. You got all this kind of stuff that you could have taken advantage of. Sandwiches were better, man. How much was he getting paid for that fight?
Like $150,000, $200,000.
Biggest payday. Blew it. He never making that money. He ain't never going to make that, son. He ain't never making that again, son. Title Town gives you a shot. Title Town takes it away. It's the way we do it. Hey, before we even start with the boxing stuff, man, Bill Russell, man. You're Bill Russell, man. Celtics legend, son.
Very sad.
Yeah. How old was he?
88.
I heard that, man. I was like, I immediately thought of you. I was like, man, that's crazy.
The news broke 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
We just got the news.
He's got to be one of the best basketball players ever, if not the best. I mean, really. I mean, he's in the conversation. Whether you think he is or isn't, you talk about LeBron, Jordan, whatever, he's definitely in the conversation.
He won, I think, 11 championships with the Celtics, and then he won how many did he win? I forget how many he won as a coach.
That's
crazy.
11. Think about that. 11 championships.
11 titles, man. A lot.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's just, I mean, that's unheard of these days.
That's insane.
It really is. It's just unheard of. And he was like the captain of those two. You know what I mean? He was like the guy. You know? So, yeah, I was bummed when I heard that, man. I really was. All right. Let's get started with it. Showtime. Danny Garcia versus Jose Benavides. Danny Garcia coming off a two-year layoff, almost a two-year layoff. Won a majority decision over Benavides, Jose Benavides, 114-114, overruled 116-112, 117-111 for Danny Garcia. You know, he looked good, all right, but I think he's too small for this weight. I'd have a hard time. I mean, Jose Benavides walked him down that entire fight. And, you know, I mean, Garcia was outlanding him. I get it, but he didn't look overly spectacular in there, you know. I would have a hard time seeing him fight the cream of the crop at 154. After the fight, he calls out Keith Thurman. What? When was the last time Keith Thurman even fought?
Keith Thurman is a welterweight.
Come on, man. Really, Keith Thurman? That's who you call out? You got all this talent at 154, and you call out Keith Thurman. Now, he did call out Arislandi Lara also, okay? He did call out Arislandi Lara.
I like that fight.
I like that fight, too. I don't think there's any way that Garcia gets past him, though. I really don't. What were your thoughts on Garcia, man?
Yeah, and then he's like, when he called out Lara, he was like, yeah, we'll fight for the middleweight title at 155. I'm so sick of these fucking catch weights and these rehydration. I'm done with it.
You hate the catch weights now, huh?
Always.
What, your boy couldn't make weight now? Now we hate the catch weights.
Always hated them.
Ohio, son.
Always hated them. I got receipts.
Remember that.
Got receipts for days.
Remember that, son. Ohio, son. It's not my fault your boy couldn't make weight.
Prima donna. All right, so Get into this fight.
Salute to Mike Montero, baby. He's on vacation checking us out. You know what I'm saying?
He's in Cape Cod, man. He's in Massachusetts, for Christ's sake.
He didn't even drop by. He didn't even drop by. Wow.
So, Danny Garcia won this fight clearly. I had him winning 9-3, but these were some hard-fought rounds. Benavidez was pressing him. Benavidez was pushing him back, but he was being outmaneuvered by Danny Garcia, who was basically sticking and moving, which is not really a tactic that he's used. I think the last time I've seen him fight like this was against Lucas Matisse, but even in that fight, I thought he was more aggressive. I think he mixed it up a little bit, and you know, he took it to Matisse in spots. This fight, to me, he fought very cautiously. Looked like he just wanted to get through the rounds and get to the finish line here. It's hard to be overly critical of Danny Garcia, but I don't think he set the world on fire either. You know, so I don't want to be too harsh on him, but then again, I don't want to be too high on this win as well. I mean, I thought that he would win this fight. He was a huge favorite. I suspected he may have gotten the knockout, but not with the way he fought last night. Didn't look like he was even trying to get the knockout, which is fine.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a pretty safety first type performance. And this is not like the Danny Garcia that we used to see. Again, he's more of an aggressive guy. He's a guy that likes to take it to his opponents. And this time he just looked like he didn't have any intention. There was no killer instinct at all last night. And I think Benavidez was the guy who was actually forcing the fight. But Danny Garcia was just the quicker guy. He was the better counter puncher in this fight. And I just think that, you know, he was landing his shot. And Benavidez was just coming up a little bit short. He was being outlanded in the fight. And the big thing was, you know, I said this before the fight, Benavidez, you know, even when he did have two good legs, he was never the most mobile guy in the world. And now that he's got a bad leg, it's even worse for him. So I think his maneuverability in the ring is compromised. And because of that, he's going to have a hard road ahead of him.
He's going to have a hard time with anybody. Because, you know, this sport is all about movement.
Sure.
It's all about your legs. Everybody thinks it's about your hands. It's really all about your legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And without that, or if you're compromised, your movement's compromised in any way, man, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I didn't think that Garcia looked overly spectacular in the fight. I don't think it was a dominant performance. It was just one of those things, man. I mean, he won the fight. It was, you know, he put on a decent performance. For somebody who's been off 2 years, he looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
But let's face it, who could have imagined Charlo in there tonight? You know?
That's what I always say. You know,
yeah.
When I'm watching Danny Garcia last night, I'm not envisioning him in there with Jose Benavidez Jr. I'm envisioning him in there with Charlo, you know, and some of the other guys up there. I think Tony Harrison would box Danny Garcia's ears off. I think he's just quicker. He's bigger.
That's a good
he's
fight.
He's longer and rangier.
That's a good fight, man.
I would pick Harrison. Yeah, I would pick Harrison.
I love Tony Harrison too, man. Harrison's one of my favorites.
And I'm in the minority. I do think Tony Harrison did beat Jermell Charlo the first fight. I had him winning the fight 115 and 113. I think that was a legitimate score fight. I think he won the fight.
I think I had Charlo winning that one and the other guy beating Charlo on that. It was like reverse
Castaño.
That night. Yeah.
Castaño, yeah.
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 But I tell you,
man, beating Charlo too.
Yeah, it's like I said, man. I don't think this is his weight class, and I think if Arislandi's going to kill him, I think, and I know Arislandi's a little bit on the dark side of his career, but he's bigger, he's going to be stronger, and he
still punch too.
He could still punch. He's elusive. Tony Harrison is the best fight for him, I think. But even that, I think, goes downhill quickly for him. I think he does want to fight Keith Thurman. I really do. But I don't know that anybody really wants to see that fight. I got to be honest. I don't want to see it.
And these guys at junior middleweight, they're 5'11", 6 feet. They're long. They're big. They're rangy.
Yeah.
I just don't think – I think Danny Garcia is very undersized for this division.
He looked it last night. I mean, I'll tell you what. He really looked it last night. Outlaw says Garcia gets beat by the top guys in the division. I couldn't agree more. He did look tiny in there. He really did. Really looked bad. And that was that, man. I tell you, it wasn't anything to write home about. The card overall was okay. It was all right for me. Second co-main was Aliarin Demirezin versus Adam Konofsky. Demirezin wins a unanimous decision 96-94, 97-93 twice. This is Konofsky's third straight loss. I got to be honest, though. I didn't think he looked that bad. I mean, is it me? I don't know. I didn't think he looked like Konofsky, you know, always does. And I'm not, you know, listen, I didn't score the fight, but it wasn't like he was blown out there. You know what I mean? He's got two losses to the same dude. He comes here, gets a loss. I don't know if you scored that fight, but to me, you know.
Well, he was in a fight that he was supposed to win.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. This was a fight. This is supposed to be a setup fight for him.
The
fight that he's supposed to look good in, right?
Yeah.
This is like a fight to bring him back. And he didn't get brought back in this fight, so it is what it is. Right?
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one when you get a showcase fight. And, you know, that's a tough one.
Guy was picked for a reason. And the reason wasn't being that he was supposed to win. Guy didn't get the memo.
Exactly, yeah. He didn't get that memo, did he?
He didn't get the memo.
Oh, jeez. Let's talk about Gary Antoine Russell versus Rancis Bartholomew. Gary Russell scored a six-round TKO over Bartholomew. This was one of the worst stoppages I may have ever witnessed. I actually thought Bartholomew was winning the fight. He gave Russell everything he wanted.
He was catching
Russell with that right hand. He was stunning him. I don't think Russell was ready for him, man. I'll be honest, man. I knew Rancis was—he's a good fighter, man. He's not some schlep, man. He's a good fighter. That knockdown was good. I give it to him. He caught him clean with a right hand, right on the chin, just dropped him, you know. But I will tell you this, man. That fight should not have been. I don't know what that guy was looking at. Just given the fact that the state athletic commission, the referee, nobody would comment after the fight. That guy ain't reffing. He's not reffing again for a long time in any championship fights, put it that way.
I hate being that guy because this is Georgie's job to be like this.
The mafia
things. But it looked like the mafias were in full force last night. Really. That was a horrible. You know what it was, too? It's like what made it worse is Bartholomew was like in that fight. You could, like you said, I think we both had him up, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. It just looked like something was off at that stoppage. Like the referee just was just taking so long. It's almost like I don't know what he was doing in there. Like you saw Bartholomew nod his head. He was like, "Yeah, I'm good." As soon as he
cleaned off his glove,
like,
took a step to him. What else to say?
He looked
clear-eyed.
He looked fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That's just fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, that was awful. That was awful. His corner went nuts, and you know what? I don't blame him. It was awful, awful stoppage.
Yeah.
Gary Russell moving forward, do you think there's a rematch here, or do you think he just moves forward?
He'll move forward. There won't rematch.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. That's
not fair to Bartholomew, but what are you going to do? I mean, and he can file a protest, but
it ain't going to do any good.
When has a protest ever done anything in the sport of boxing?
Right. You know. Vito Mielnecki, friend of the show, versus Jimmy Williams. Mielnecki scored a six-round TKO on cuts over Jimmy Williams. And Sergey Derevchenko versus Joshua Connelly. Derevchenko wins a unanimous decision 99-91 twice and 98-92.
It wasn't a bad card, huh? Decent.
Wasn't bad. You know what card I watched last night was at UFC. I watched the main event on there, the Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena. And
that was a great fight, I heard.
Amanda Nunes is probably one of my favorite fighters on the planet. I think her and Kayla Harrison are the two best fighters on the planet right now.
She's one of the most entertaining fighters to watch in MMA right now. I would argue she may be the most exciting fighter to watch in MMA right now.
In combat sports. I mean, you can put it in combat sports. I mean,
you can even make that argument. You can even make that argument.
You know, because I tell you what, I mean, name a woman boxer better than, you know, that you'd rather watch versus Amanda Nunes. You know, would you rather watch an Amanda Nunes fight, or would you rather watch, I don't know, Clarissa Shields fight?
Katie Taylor is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. She is. Serrano's fun to watch, too, you know. But Amanda Nunes, man, she's just a whole different level.
Yeah.
And Kayla Harrison is another one of those. Did you know Kayla Harrison's from Ohio? I didn't know if you knew that or not. Hamilton?
I heard she's like,
yeah, real close.
I heard she moved there, but she was born somewhere else. That's what I heard.
Nah, she's from here, son. Yeah, she's from here. She's from Titletown.
Okay.
She claims it too. She doesn't move out to Vegas and forget where she came from, like some people, you know. Just saying.
You hate that.
I hate it with a passion.
You hate that.
Hate it with a passion. I hate it with a passion. Yeah.
What about LeBron James? He did the same thing too, man.
No, he didn't. No, not at all. LeBron was from Cleveland. LeBron was from Ohio. He stayed in Ohio. He went. He left. He came back. Won a championship for us. He can do whatever he wants, man. LeBron.
He lives in L.A.
He was drafted. He went over there. He signed a contract.
Cut it out. Will you stop?
He signed a contract with him, son. Come on.
Okay. Someone put a gun to his head and say, hey, leave Ohio and go to
L.A.?
No,
but I mean, listen, man. He doesn't claim he's from L.A. That's what gets me. You can move wherever you are. But you claimed you're from Las Vegas. You're in my backyard.
Okay.
Remember that?
Okay.
No, you're in my backyard. No, you're not in me. Okay. Danny Garcia was like, no, you're from Ohio, son. You ain't nobody's backyard.
I remember that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Tony Yayo says he'd rather watch Ebony Bridges than Nunez and all the others.
You'd rather watch her doing what? Boxing or
OnlyFans, son. That's where I'm watching her.
Yeah.
You're watching her on browsers. That's about it. Because after a couple of fights, that's where she's going to be.
All that plastic.
Wow. Who's a misogynist now? What, so she gets some surgery to feel a little bit better about herself, now all of a sudden she's no good? You're suspect, dude.
Herself.
That's messed up, man. You're a misogynist, dude.
I want this
kind of garbage shut down. Not on my channel, son.
She can feel good about herself. I don't feel good about it.
No. That doesn't fly here.
Stop being so thirsty. Come on, man.
That doesn't fly here. No way.
Listen to Eric simping for Ebony Bridges over there. Come on.
There it is.
Yeah, all right.
Right there.
Johnny Depp killed it. He assassinated me, too.
That's it, buddy. Right there. That's what you get. All right, let's talk about the fights coming up here. And one big one was canceled that we'll tell you about here in a minute. August 6th, Michael Conlan. This is on ESPN+. Michael Conlan versus Miguel Mariaga. 10 rounds featherweights. Conlan coming off that loss. We'll see how he looks. Padraig McCrory versus Marco Parabon, 10 rounds super middleweights, and Tyrone McKenna versus Chris Jenkins, 10 rounds welterweights. This is going to be in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Conlan should win. He should win pretty convincingly, given the fact that, you know, he's fighting in his home country and expected to win coming off, you know. So, yeah, this should be a pretty good fight for him. August 6th, Fort Worth, Texas, on DAZN, Virgil Ortiz versus Michael McKinson, 12 rounds welterweights. Co-main here, Marlon Esparza versus Eva Guzman, 10 rounds for Esparza's WBC and WBA flyweight titles. Yeah, can't wait to watch that. Wow, this is something else too. Okay, on the undercard there, right? Alex Martin versus Hank Lundy, 8 rounds junior welterweights. Why is Hank Lundy still fighting, man?
We love Hank Lundy, don't we?
I do, man. I love Hank Lundy, man. I don't want to see him fight.
He's a friend of the show, isn't he?
Love, yeah. He's a friend of the show. He's awesome, man.
Yeah, we got to represent Hank Lundy.
Yeah, I like Hank, but I don't want to see him get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Blair Cobbs, friend of the show, Blair the Flair Cobbs versus Maurice Hooker, 10 rounds welterweights. That's a good fight.
That's a really
solid fight right there,
Jeez.
Right? That's a good fight.
I don't know if he's going to win that one.
I don't know, man. That's a good fight, man.
I love that fight. Shout out to him for taking it.
Yeah, that's not a cakewalk, man. That's a tough, tough fight. And the Jake Paul fight was supposed to be this weekend. We're going to talk about that in just a second here. August 13th, so a week, 2 weeks out, we got Teofimo Lopez versus Pedro Campa on ESPN+. So that's one we can look forward to also, Teofimo. Because I kind of wonder if Teofimo, I think everybody's curious to see how he looks now. He should win easily over Pedro Campa. But I'm real curious to see how he looks. You know what I mean? That's going to be the key there. And how, you know, what he's saying, you know, because he's still saying he was robbed in that fight and everything like that, all this other nonsense and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so I think that's going to be real interesting there.
Did you hear that interview that Mark Kriegel had with his dad?
I don't listen to Mark Kriegel, no. What did he say?
It's basically saying to him, like, if you knew he was so hurt and injured going into the fight, then why did you let him fight? And then his response was, well, my son would have never talked to me again if I pulled him out of the fight. Well, again, I mean, so you're willing to put your son's life on the line because you're afraid he's never going to talk to you again? And that's if the injuries were as bad as they say they were, which I don't know. But if they were, and you're saying that they were, then why did you allow them to go through with the fight? So
let me ask you a question. When Manny Pacquiao came out and claimed he needed a rotator cuff surgery, like he had a torn rotator cuff in the Floyd Mayweather, did he get any slack for that? Yeah, he got a ton of slack for that.
Yeah.
All right? So you came in this fight injured. You're going to get a ton of slack for it. Just deal with it, all right? Be a grown-up.
That's right.
Put your big
that's
boy right. pants on. Tim Gallegos, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. He said, that's what I'm talking about, rooting for Blair. That's right, the Flair, baby. Love Blair Cobbs. He's one of those guys that could be a huge star. He's already a big star. I mean, you like a lot of people already know him just because of his gimmick, you know, which is awesome.
He's got a good little gimmick.
He really does. He really does. All right. Let's talk about the news and rumors here. The first one here, Haseem Rahman Jr., Beeb's boy, pulls out of the fight with Jake
no,
Paul.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Let's be
Jake
honest.
Paul,
this is like, you know what this
Jake
is like,
Paul Beeb? Canceled the event.
You know what this is like? This is like quitting without quitting. This is like you faking an injury. This is like, you know, you're losing, and then you just say, he's cheating, and you leave. I'm cheated. Haseem Rahman, yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
There's such a thing as using leverage, but then there's another thing called abusing leverage. There's a difference. What Haseem Rahman was forced to do was try to be in compliance with an unconscionable contract. This contract was so heavily leveraged against him. It was even ridiculous to expect him to go through with it the whole way. And here's the thing, he did follow the contract because, again, he was willing to pay the penalty, right? And they could penalize him 25% per pound, and they would cap it out at $5,000. He was willing to take the $5,000. That's number one. Number two, he also said he would try to get down to as close to 200 pounds as he could. The commission stepped in and said he can't lose 15 pounds in a week, right? So they
lost 1 pound during training camp, by the way.
Well, again, that's his set point.
Right, the set point? So he just plateaued there? He plateaued there, huh?
Lose anymore. Is Haseem Rahman fat?
I don't think he is, no.
Would you consider him a lean guy? He's tall, he's lean, he's lanky, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't look like a big, thick, stocky guy,
so
right?
What, he's got 0% body fat? He can't lose any, right? Can't lose any weight?
Well,
he can't get down there?
Do you want him to cut off a leg?
Can't get down there? I'll tell you what I want. I want him to honor the contract.
He did?
He didn't. When two fighters fight, they sign a contract,
yep.
Right, that says you are going to weigh this much and I am going to weigh this much.
Yeah.
And he agreed, 200 pounds. He agreed on it. Haseem Rahman said, yeah, I can do that. I can weigh 200 pounds. Then he said, no, I can't do that. I can weigh 205 pounds. No problem. Jake Paul said, no problem. We'll do 205.
Well, the commission said 205, not him.
Commission said 205, but it was up to Jake Paul. Jake Paul said, yes, I can do 205 because I don't want the event canceled. Now he says, I can weigh 215. How can you only weigh 215 if you're at 216 now?
Well, his compromise was I can get down to 210.
He said 215. His people called Jake Paul
No, in the video, he said two. He said he. Said,
well, he could say whatever he wants.
He said I could try to get down.
He's a liar. He's a habitual liar.
Well,
all right.
Jake Paul's a liar too. I mean,
how?
Jake Paul's not.
How? What did he lie about? He's got the contract. They put
okay.
it out. They put it out the release, and they told him. Here's what he said. Here, let me read this to you. Let me read this to you. From MVP Promotions, which is Jake Paul's place, on July 5th, Haseem Jr. signed a bout agreement for Jake Paul on August 6th at Madison Square Garden at a maximum weight of 200 pounds. At the time of the signing, Rockman provided evidence of his weight to give comfort to MVP and the New York State Athletic Commission that he would not be losing more than 10% of his weight, okay, because they thought he was heavy. And he says, no, I'll be fine. He gave him evidence, all right, that he weighed 216 pounds on July 7th. Rockman and his camp offered assurance after assurance publicly and privately that he was on track to make weight at the weigh-in on August 5th. Going so far as to provide a letter signed by a recognized nutritionist that his weight cut was progressing without issue to the Athletic Commission. They required weekly weight checks. In the last 48 hours, it has become clear that the assurances were not made in good faith. All right? So he said, I can make the weight.
Yeah.
That's what he
All
said.
Facts.
He said, I can
All
make
facts.
The weight.
All facts.
And then he says, and then either he was lying about it, right, about making the weight. And that's my guess here. That's my guess here is that he was lying about making the weight from the get-go. I think he knew that he couldn't get down that far. But what he was banking on is says, screw it. I'm going to come in heavy. And what is he going to do, call the fight off? That's what he did. That's what he
and
did.
I agree with those tactics. You know why? Because I hate these fucking stipulations, these rehydration clauses. I hate all this shit. And
why did he agree to it, though?
Honestly, I would have done the same exact thing.
And pulled out of the fight?
I wouldn't have pulled out of the fight.
They said, here's what they said. They said, if you didn't have a contract of 215, we were going to pull out of the fight.
Not what he said. What he said was...
He's a liar.
I will try.
He's lied about his weight, and we know he's a liar because he's lied about his weight. And he lied about making the weight. You're a liar. Where do we draw that line? Listen, so now I can't trust a word he says. So you can go out on social media. You can say whatever you want. Listen, the proof is in the pudding. You've been caught
lying. But who canceled the event, though? Who called off the event?
This is a case of quitting without quitting.
Well, who called off the event, though? Just answer the question.
Jake Paul called off the event because he wasn't going to fight him at 215.
So you think Jake Paul never exaggerated or lied about anything that he said?
Not here.
Not in this situation.
Not in this situation. Listen, I haven't caught Jake Paul lying in the situation, so I have to take him at his word. However, we've caught Haseem Rahman lying in the situation, so now we can't take his word.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you say lie, right?
Yeah, you know
you
what
believe,
I mean. Don't be a lawyer here. You know what I mean.
Do you believe that he had every intention of making that weight?
No. No, I don't believe he had any intention of making that weight. No more than I believe Mayweather had any intention of making that weight against Juan Manuel.
And Salido
right.
didn't make weight.
Over with Lomachenko.
Happened, all right?
How much was he overweight? How much was he overweight, though? How much was Salido overweight?
Like 3 pounds.
15. Nobody is going to fight. Let me make this point real quick. You gave me the example earlier. Roy Jones weighed in at like 193, and John Ruiz weighed in at like 230 or something like that. Huge weight difference. They signed a heavyweight contract.
Yeah.
Jones knew the limit, and Ruiz knew the limit, that there was no limit.
Yeah.
You can come in wherever. That's the proving ground right there. When you're at heavyweight, that's what makes it the toughest division out there.
Yeah.
Because there is no weight limit. It's open season, baby.
My argument is this. I think it was ridiculous to ask this guy to come down to 200 pounds after fighting at 224 in his last fight. So he took the fight, right? He had no negotiating power, right? So once again, you have leverage, you use it. But I don't like when fighters or anybody abuses leverage, right? Unconscionable contract. You're basically putting out a contract that is just so heavily leveraged to one
sure.
side
Sure.
And that was the argument I had with Ruiz in that rematch with Joshua, and mm-hmm. he helped Furman. He got the money, right?
Yeah.
So do I agree with you 110%.
But again,
he had no intention of making 200 pounds. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Okay, let me interject this, though. You're 100% right. Was the contract? Of course. Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Was it fair? No, I don't think so. I mean, if you know this guy weighs a certain amount and you're trying to dry him out, I get where you're coming from, and I get maybe it levels the playing field in your eyes because he's a boxer. He's a better boxer than you. I gotcha. Canelo, a lot of champions do the same thing. I get you, but they're not going, you know, you're talking about 15, you know, whatever he weighed here coming down to wherever. That's a lot of weight to lose. I get you. But you knew this was all set up in the sense that you signed the contract, and nothing absolves you from signing that contract. You signed it. You knew what the risks were. You knew what he was doing, and you signed the contract anyway. At that point, there is no absolution for you.
But here's the thing. You don't like what he did, and you have a right to have your opinion on that, right? My argument is this. I do like what he did, right? And I'll tell you why. Because he was being bullied by someone because of status.
Sure.
I stick up for the have-nots, right?
Well, now he's a really have-not, because now he's not going to get that payday at all.
That's fine. He'll be fine.
Is he?
Yeah. He's going to get a fight with
with who?
The Bridgeweight title. With Revis. He'll get a decent payday.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
That's going to pay him the money. That's going to pay him a lot.
Well, he only got like $150,000 for this fight.
That's his highest payday ever.
Okay, so this guy.
We talk about $150,000 like it's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money when the other guy's getting six.
You're not the other guy. The other guy's carrying the promotion, not you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? $150,000 is a lot of money.
So why?
Because I guarantee
these other guys,
he's not getting
these
paid that money anywhere else.
I'm not 100% sure about that. You have an argument. You may be right. I'm not 100% sure about that because again, he got a lot of publicity off of Jake Paul's name throughout this whole friggin' incident. He could ride this out.
He could, again,
I'll explain to you why I don't have a problem with what he did. To me, it was more of a scumbag thing to do to take a guy who just got knocked out April 29th, right? He weighed 230 pounds, right, after the fight. You know, he weighed 224. He said he weighed about 235 a week after the fight, right?
Yeah.
So second week of May, this guy weighs 235. So he already was already lost. He already lost fucking, what, 215? So he already lost 20 pounds.
But
right?
You knew that was his game, though.
Okay.
And listen, I agree with you. And by the way,
a scumbag move.
It is. I agree with you.
Guy, so I think he's saying to himself, fuck this motherfucker. Who the fuck does he think he is making me lose 35 fucking pounds in fucking 5 weeks, right? That's fucking 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever the fuck it was. That's bullshit.
No.
Right?
But he said he weighed 216.
3 weeks out. You're correct.
He's the one that said it. So he didn't lose 15 pounds in a week.
But he already lost 20 pounds. How much more do you want him to lose?
Well, that's not up to me. That's up to him. He's the one that signed.
Do you think he could have safely made 200 pounds?
MMA guys do it all the time. MMA guys drop 20 pounds.
They also faint on the scales.
They do.
They also
MMA
pass out
guys
at weigh-ins.
So
in my opinion, I'd rather the guy fucking lie.
Listen, I agree. Listen, okay.
I'd rather him lie.
You
and
I are on the same page when it comes to that contract. That was a lousy thing to do.
That was a lousy thing to do
to drain him like that.
Technically,
no question.
Technically, he could have been over and paid the penalty, and he was willing to fight for $5,000. I believe him. You don't have to believe him. I believe this is what he was going to do. He was going to get down as low as he can, right?
Yeah. But he was going to 215. Low as he can, 215.
No, I think he would have
weighed 215. Because he would have weighed 215. He was not going to weigh, if the contracted weight was 215, trust me, he's going to 215. He's not going to 210. He's full of it when he says
that. I think he would have went to 210.
I think he's lying again.
I don't think he would have went to 205.
Why would he lose if the contracted weight becomes 215, why would he go down to 210? When he's having trouble making 215.
I think when he wouldn't commit to 205, I think he would have committed to 210. And that's just speculation.
And let me tell you what, not for nothing, again, I agree with you 100% on that contract. It's a lousy thing to do. I know what he's doing. We all know what he's doing. He's trying to get the advantage because he knows that, listen, we both picked Rahman to knock this guy clean out. He wasn't getting out of this fight. I think we all know that. At least I know that. You know, Rahman's good. It's not like he's some schlep fighter. He's good. He can fight, man. All right? So he got knocked out in his last fight. Who cares? Look who he got knocked out against. You know, that guy can hit. Morrison can hit. Okay?
But technically, could this fight have gone on if he accepted the $5,000 and paid all the penalties?
Do you know anybody who would have fought with a 15-pound weight disadvantage? If you were at 147 and the guy came in at, 162, 63, somewhere in there, any welterweight would fight that?
Oh. Like at a weigh-in you're talking about?
At a weigh-in. If he comes in at the weigh-in or the guy says, no, we're going to weigh this, we're going to weigh 15 more pounds at the welterweight limit, and that's just it. No one's going to fight him. You have a weight class.
Here's the thing, though. The commission said 205, right?
No, the commission said 200 until he said that, you know, that it showed that he only lost a pound in a week.
Then they said we'll
only sanction it at 205.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is again my opinion again. The commission should have never sanctioned this fight. In my opinion,
commission didn't want to sanction this fight. Commission said that this was according to what's that kid's name? Jake Paul's trainer. What's that kid's name? He's the Olympian.
Not B.J. Flores.
B.J. Flores, yeah. This is according to B.J. Flores. So take it for what it's worth. He said that the commission did not want to sanction this fight. They really had to fight to get this fight sanctioned because they said that Haseem Rahman Jr. had too much experience.
I heard that, yeah.
He had too much experience. So
it was just a mismatch. I think what Rahman was trying to do, he was prepared to pay the penalties, and he said to himself, "I'll get down as low as I can." I think he would have gotten to 210. I don't think he could have got to 205. I think that when they said 205, he couldn't guarantee that he would get down to 205.
Well, that's what happened. Yeah.
And his answer was this: "I'll get down as low as I can." And again, your argument could be, "Well, what does that mean?" He could still walk in at 215.
He's walking in at 215, 100%.
But what I would have done if I was Jake Paul.
If you were his trainer, would you let him walk in at 210 if you make it at 215? No way. I'm talking about Haseem Rahman's trainer. Okay, so if the contract's at 215, would you let him go below 215? No, you're going to have him right at 215, so he's not starving himself.
What I would have done if I was Jake Paul, right, I would have went to the commission and said, okay, can we do 210, right? And then that's what I would have done. I would have made a compromise, right? What I would have done, I would have made a compromise. I just don't think –
How many compromises
does
he need to make, though?
Well, I mean, if you want the fight to go on. Here's another conflict of interest, too. Jake Paul is not only the fighter here. He's the promoter of this event.
Right.
And according to Dana White and according to other people, and if you look on Subhub, the fight wasn't really selling either.
That's what I heard, too. The fight wasn't really selling. But
so we have to look at this thing, too. Was the weight the real reason why that this fight was canceled by Jake Paul?
Sure.
Or was it ticket sales?
You know, you could point to ticket sales, but I'm more apt to point to the fact that he was 15 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
And we don't even know. Here we go again. All right, so we don't even know. All right, so let's just say 215. Let's just say 215. What if he misses weight at the scale then? Well, then what?
Technically,
well, I'm 216. Here's his argument. Well, I'm 217. you know, I'm only 2 pounds off weight. You're going to fight me at 215 anyway. Why not? Well, let's just get this going.
I've seen pictures of him.
Listen, man.
I've seen pictures of him posing with both Logan Paul and Jake Paul with his shirt off, right?
Yeah.
In the picture, he weighed 220 pounds, and he had a six-pack. I'm just saying to myself, I'm going to be 110% honest with you. In my honest opinion, knowing what I know about kinesiology and health and everything,
right,
it is physically impossible for him to make 200 pounds.
That may be. That may be.
I think he knew that going in.
Safely.
I think he knew that going in.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you. That's a fair point. But my argument is he was going to just come in as low as he could, right, and pay the penalties.
Yeah, but there's no – again, all right, if the weight is 205, okay, let's just say the weight is 205 and he just comes in at 215, 220, that fight ain't happening. Nobody – I will say it again. Nobody in the welterweight division would – or 160 would fight a guy that's 175.
Name
on a contracted weight – name some fights on a contracted weight where the guy missed weight by 15 pounds and the fight happened.
I think the biggest – I'm trying to remember. I think there was a fight where a guy was over, like, I want to say, like, 6 pounds or something.
6 pounds is the heaviest I've seen, not 15.
Yeah.
That's a far cry.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, again, for, you know, and I'll tell you what, and Rockman knew he couldn't make that weight, and what makes it even more disgusting over all this is that he put the entire card in jeopardy. The entire card is canceled. Serrano's payday, all the undercards' paydays, everything like that, they're all gone. They got to find something else to do. So all the money they put into this, all the time everybody put into this, and because you couldn't make weight, and you knew you couldn't make weight, but you signed the deal anyway, that's on you.
Yeah, but
that's
but
on
again,
you.
Jake Paul is the one that canceled the event.
Listen,
that's what I'm
saying. I'll say it again. You're right. He canceled the event. However, they said if you don't sanction the fight at 215, we're not fighting. We're going to pull out.
No, this is what he said.
What
this
I'm saying,
this is what he said in the video. He's going to have a press conference tonight.
He can have
get
a link. He's a liar.
I'm going to get a link. I'll send you the link.
He's a liar. That's the bottom line. We found him lying here. He lied about his weight.
Are you saying he did lie about his weight?
Right.
He did say he could make 200. He didn't make 200.
Well, and not only that, I think, you know, him saying he weighed 216, I find it hard to believe that he weighed 216, only lost a pound in training camp, and then all of a sudden – 3 weeks out, you know, then he knows he, you know, with a week out of the fight, he can only make 215?
Well, can we argue this? Talk Trends made a great point in the chat. Because a lot of people were saying, not a lot, but a few, Sean Porter, D-Style Boxing, they said this fight was going to get canceled regardless. They didn't think this fight was going to go through. Could we say this? And again, this is, you don't have to agree with this. Did Jake Paul pick a person that he knew was never going to make the weight so we wouldn't have to fight him so then he could turn around and say, this guy fucking ducked me?
He said he could make the weight.
But
Let me ask you a question. Your lowest weight is what, 170, 175 or whatever?
Oh, I posted a picture on my video. The lowest I got was 185, and that was when I was ripped. You could see that.
Yeah, you were definitely ripped up. For sure.
Someone told me you got to lose an additional 10 pounds. There's no way I could have done it. I would have to fucking kill myself.
If somebody says you lose an additional 10 pounds in what, 6 weeks? How much time? When did they sign? Like he knew. What is it? 6 weeks? Thereabouts.
About 3 week notice. He got the call on July 5th for the fight.
All right, July 5th. It's August 6th. That's 4 weeks.
About a month.
Okay, about a month.
Roughly, right.
If somebody gave you a month and you weighed 160 or 185, and somebody gave you a month to get down to 175, and they said, you know what, I'm going to give you $150,000 if you do it. $150,000, your biggest payday ever. $150,000, one month of work. Come on.
I don't know if I could do it. I would try, but I don't know if I could do it.
You wouldn't hire a nutritionist? Try to get down there?
I wouldn't need a nutritionist. You know what I would need?
Jesus Christ.
I would need a magician.
Whatever. You go to Jenny Craig and you figure it out, son.
You saw how lean I was in that picture.
Very
lean. Where else would the weight have come off?
Take some laxatives. I don't know what to tell you. But the bottom line is, neither one of us signed the contract. He signed the contract.
Okay.
And
but
he's the one that broke it. And that's facts.
But again, the fight could have went on if he paid the penalties.
However, well, first of all, no, it couldn't have, because he said he wasn't fighting under 215, okay?
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He said the contract would wait until 215.
He said, I will try to get down.
He's not getting back. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not getting below 215.
Because he can't.
No, not because he can't, because he's not going to. All right? That's it. You know, so, again, you know, he caused this event. Because, again, nobody, if we take it down at like 160, nobody at 160, day of the weigh-in, if somebody comes in 15 pounds over, that fight ain't happening. Right?
I would have done the same thing. I would have just paid the penalties. You know why? Because you know what I would have, you know what my mindset would have been? After I knock this guy out, the world is my oyster. I'm going to get so much attention. I'm going to get that rub. He already got the rub from this guy already.
Or you could have just not lied and just tried to make the weight. Or just said, hey, I don't know if I can make the weight. Let's, hey, what about this? What about that? You know what this is like?
This is like, I'm not trying to make a straw man here, but it's like Sammy Gravano, right? Technically, he ratted on John Gotti, right?
He did, yes.
But John Gotti was going to rat on him. So he said to himself, because this guy is going to rat on me, why not turn around and rat on him, right? So the reason why I'm not mad at Rockman for this, because I'm looking at what he was asked to do, and for me, what he was asked to do is worse than him agreeing to it and not doing it.
So then why agree to it? You knew it was a lousy contract. You agreed to it.
Because he was willing to pay the penalties. And he didn't think that Jake Paul would pull out a week.
He didn't think he was going to get pulled out coming in 20 pounds over?
Who pulls out a week before a fight?
Who comes in 15 pounds overweight?
Name a time
anybody came in 15 pounds overweight and that fight happened.
But here's the thing. In his mind, he's saying to himself, there's no way this guy's going to pull out with a week to go.
Then he's a moron.
He's saying to himself, this guy's trying to fuck me, just like Sammy Gravano said, John Gotti's trying to fuck me, so why don't I turn around and fuck him back? That's all.
Yeah, but instead, he screwed everybody justice, on the card, including himself.
Street justice.
It's not street justice, because he didn't get any money out of it. He got squat out of it.
We'll see what happens now, because he's already gotten the publicity. He's gotten free publicity from Jake Paul. He's got the rub.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that rub, because your next fight may be your last fight there. You know what I mean?
We don't know.
I'll tell you, as a promoter, if I'm not fighting heavyweight, I ain't fighting that dude because I can't trust him now. He lied to the commission, proven. He lied about the contract, proven. And now he's going to hold a press conference saying, why is Jake Paul's fault? Well, he can say whatever he wants. He's a liar. It just is. We got him in 50,000 lies here. And you trust him. What's the matter with you? Get your head out of the closet.
You're willing. You act like he lied. He made this fucking lying about, I don't know.
We all lie about our weight on a driver's license. Don't get me wrong.
You act like he fucking lied about his identity, lied at his birth.
Contract. It's a contract for $150,000. That's the big deal. $150,000, you're going to carry a car for $100,000. It was very significant. Given the fact that nobody's getting paid now, it was very significant.
Well, Jake Paul could have fought and he could have saved the card. Could have saved the card.
15 pounds overweight. Name me anybody again. I will give you – name anybody who fought somebody 15 pounds over – who came in 15 pounds overweight.
On weigh-in day, no. But we've seen Joey Gamache weigh 170 pounds – excuse me. We've seen Arturo Gatti weigh 170 pounds and fight Joey Gamache at 140, right?
That's legal. He put on weight after the weigh-in.
So here's the thing. You knew the guy was bigger than you. You knew he was going to rehydrate. And then you put a rehydration clause, and you're saying the guy can't weigh more than 210 the morning of the fight at 9 in the morning. I mean, it just I'm not mad at him for not going through with this contract.
Canelo does
I'm
the same
not...
thing. We hate it then. Jake Paul does the same thing. We hate it also. But I hate a guy who can't make weight, who says he's going to make weight and doesn't make weight, especially when this is your gig.
I hate
this
rehydration.
Is all you do.
I hate rehydration.
Contracts. I hate it all. Either fight or don't fight.
I hate unconscionable contracts.
Right,
I hate
but you
guys...
signed that unconscionable contract.
Okay, and in the contract, he could have still fought.
And you screwed everybody with your lies.
No.
Baltimore, 410, talk some sense here.
What's
410,
happening, guys?
You're live.
Yeah,
what's
happening,
man?
Yeah, I called last week.
Yes,
I don't know that
you.
We need to – I got a couple things I want to say. I don't know if we need to beat this Jake Paul horse. Jake Paul is sports –
That's the topic we're on right now. Yeah, but
yeah,
that's
well,
the topic we're on
my
right
take.
Now.
Jake Paul is sports entertainment, and when he throws together these flip cards, scenarios like this might happen. Yes, he was putting stipulations on Rockman. He was doing that, but at the end of the day, it's Rockman who didn't live up to the terms of the contract. If he couldn't make the weight, if it was that impossible to do. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a pro fighter. He should know the reality of that weight loss and if he could do it. Now, when I first heard him comment on it weeks ago, he seemed confident that he could. And, yeah, the money probably caused him to jump at the opportunity, which we can all understand. But at the end of the day, he wasn't forced to do it. Even if you think it was unfair for the stipulations, likely it was. However, he wasn't forced to do it. He accepted a contract, and when you do that in boxing and in life in general, you're expected to live up to the terms of the contract. Now, him missing weight intentionally probably was not an option as they had this prelim weigh-in. That's put there as a safeguard to ensure that he's on weight or at least close. And he wasn't. So I don't know. People are suggesting, well, he was just going to come in overweight and fuck it, and that's what it was going to be. Now, I don't know that it could have occurred that way. That's why they had the pre-weigh-in to see if he was still on weight. But it's nothing to really get up in arms about either way because Jake Paul, we know, is not a real boxer. He's kudos to him. He's a sports entertainment guy that is – figured out a way to make a great deal of money, more than a lot of professional boxers make, and he's doing his thing, and I don't really hate on him for it, you know? I thought this was right. A good matchup for him, being Rockman is a boxer. I don't know that he's high level. I haven't seen much of him, but, you know, that it would look like, you know, but it's nothing really to get. What more, if you don't mind, to get up in arms about is what happened in that first fight on that card last night. That was in 40 years of boxing. I've seen the worst of the worst stoppages, and that one was easily among one of the worst I've ever seen. That was a pure protection.
That was crazy. That was a crazy stoppage. And B mentioned it earlier. We talked about the mafias, and I know Georgie's notorious for calling it about the mafias. But you know what? I mean, I can't make heads or tails out of that stoppage. I can't.
It looked very
well.
Strange.
I can.
Really
I can. Well, what it was is it was a protection program. Gary Antoine Russell is getting a lot of push from the PBC. They probably want to make him a future tank opponent is what I would imagine. But nonetheless, he's getting a lot of push. And even the postal fight, in my opinion, was stopped too soon. However, the difference was he was pretty much doing a number on Victor Postal, okay? So that one didn't, you know, I thought it was too quick of a stoppage, but last night you seen what happened. He got hurt badly in the first round from running into a shot, and then in the fourth round he got staggered a couple more times, and there was, you know, there was a good possibility, perhaps maybe he was going to lose that fight by stoppage, perhaps, because I mean, you're going to walk in and get hit like that, you can get stopped. However, refs are also trained that when a fighter goes down and he gets up and makes the count, if you think that the fighter is compromised, you give him a physical a command. You guys know, you know, take a few steps to the left, a few steps to the right. If you look at Bartholomew, when he got up, he was perfectly clear. It was a good knockdown. It was a legit knockdown, but the guy easily made the count. He was flat on his feet. His eyes were clear, and the ref didn't even give him any type of command, nothing. He just fucking stopped the fight. It was shameful. And it really robbed Antoine really of what could have been a legitimate stoppage, where he still might have got a little criticism for his...
That's right.
I felt so bad for Antoine because he had nothing to do with it.
Well, I felt bad for Bartholomew. He was winning that fight. At least I thought he was. You know,
I thought he was giving him. But you're right.
Everything he wanted. Yeah.
Russell didn't stop the fight. The ref did. But that's what you call a house stoppage. I mean, I've seen them before, and that's exactly what that was. There was nothing there to suggest for even a second that the fight should have been stopped right there. His corner was right to be outraged. And now Antoine goes from receiving some criticism for his sloppy defense and running into shots, which he was going to get regardless of what happened. But now it's compounded. Now it's, you know, you got a gift and things like that. So it robs him too. But that's part of the corruption in boxing. The Konaki fight, let's be honest, that guy's not a top-tier heavyweight. He takes every shot. I could have hit him. He takes millions and millions of punches, but he's a good TV fighter, right? That's why they put him on these cards, and that's what his appeal up to this point has been, just that. Not that he's necessarily world-class. It's just he's good for TV. People like to see exciting fights, heavyweights going to throw leather. That's what we got there. And that's his whole gag. And then, of course, the main event. What can you say? I thought it might be a slightly better fight than what it turned out to be, even though I think it was a pretty good scrap. Neither guy really took too many chances. They were fighting as well as they could without taking too many chances. I don't think Danny Garcia, I think the same thing awaits him at junior middleweight that he experienced at welterweight. He's going to beat some guys, but the top guys, he's not going to beat. And if he was to fight Jermell, I just can't see him beating Jermell right now. He's too quick and he's too big. And Danny was a small welterweight, if you ask me, and he's an even smaller junior middleweight. And I'm glad that he's getting his mental health together, and he might show some improvement. He's going to beat some guys like he beat Benavidez last night. I just don't see him. If that was Castano in there last night, I don't know if he wins that fight. Castano's not going to slap his gloves together and mug and stick his tongue out. He's going to be throwing mad punches and, you know, big power shots, and that would have been a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I would
agree. Benavidez, you know.
All right, Jerry.
Okay, very good,
great
guys.
Great call as always, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Yep.
He's always got good takes, man. He's always got good, very well thought out, very well thought out. All right, let's go to, let's see here, 914. We'll get to Robbie in a minute. 914, you're live.
What's up, guys? The caller before me was a great call. You made a lot of great points there. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, you sure did. Good, man.
With the Jake Paul fiasco, so one of the things that, you know, I actually thought the fight was going to happen after it was announced, and, you know, Jake Paul has a gas tank issue. You know, as the rounds progress, you know, he's breathing more out of his mouth, defense gets a little shaky, and I thought the strategy that Rahman was going to have going in is like, yo, I could take the weight cut. Right, I could take the weight cut, I could deplete myself, and I just have to take him into deep waters and possibly go for the stoppage, right? That's how I was thinking, but Beeb made a lot of points where it's like it's physically impossible for him to make the weight. Yes, he should have never taken on he should have never agreed to a contract.
He's
also
the smartest guy in
the
room. But he said he should never agree to a contract. So is Beeb really the smartest guy in the room?
100%.
No, well...
In your
room
right now, maybe.
Look, Jake's brother just did a WWE show yesterday, right? And you know what? This whole thing could have, you know, it sounds like a bit of a conspiracy, but it was good publicity for the both of them because they got their name in the articles. Jake's fighting a legitimate boxer, a heavyweight at that, with a winning record. So, you know, I don't know what to think. Even for the in-ring action, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the fight did happen and if Rahman lost, it looked like a dive of sorts. You know, I just got to put that out there.
B, let me ask you a question. Am I wrong to assume, like, I've seen Jake Paul fight and I've seen Rahman fight. Am I wrong to assume I can't see any way Jake Paul beat this guy? I can't see any scenario.
I have a hard time seeing it, too.
I mean, under no scenario do I see Jake Paul beating this guy.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing it.
He's just a better boxer. I mean, he's good. I mean, you know, Jake Paul, like you said, Jake Paul slows down. Jake Paul has a stamina issue. I get it. He's not beating Rahman. Come on.
Yeah, there's no way.
And I don't understand why odds and everything like that. I just don't get that. I don't.
I had a hard time believing, I'm going to be honest. I thought like Rahman was going to come in like at 205. I didn't think he was going to make the 200.
Yeah. But didn't he tell you he was on weight in that interview?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he lied to you too. How about that? Crazy.
I forgive him.
You forgive
him. Speaking of odds.
Street justice. It's called street justice.
Yeah, he didn't get paid. He didn't get paid. That's real street justice.
We'll see. You don't know what we got. You don't know what we got in the works, buddy. We got a lot of things.
Trust
going
me, you guys
on
got
right
nothing
now.
Going on in the works.
You guys know what we got going on right now.
You got Slim Fast in the works for him. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Go look at the Instagram right now. It's popping.
Go ahead, caller 914.
Guys, speaking of odds, did either one of you get tempted to put some money on the +500 in Benavidez?
No, I figured Garcia was going to, this was a showcase for Garcia even, you know.
I was so tempted to bet Danny Garcia to win by stoppage at a +150.
Oh, it's so good you didn't.
And I didn't pull the trigger, and I'll tell you why I didn't pull the trigger.
Because Danny Garcia.
Because of Angel Garcia. And all these interviews telling me these the anxiety, the panic attack. And I was saying to myself, maybe this guy ain't
why are you going to make fun of that, man? Why are you going to make fun of his depression?
Putting a spotlight on it. I'm not making
fun. Wow. Why are you
putting a spotlight
fun of
on
just,
it?
Just, oh, look.
The fact that
there
he
goes
was,
now. We got to put the banner up.
Got
to put the banner
up,
son.
Get it down. Get it down. Johnny Depp killed it. Johnny Depp killed it. But I was so tempted to bet Danny Garcia to win by stoppage at a +150. Corey and myself were talking yesterday. There was another line, Danny Garcia in knockout between round 7 and 9. That was a +6. Oh, my God. Like, there was so many options, and I just couldn't.
Did Corey bet the unanimous decision for Danny Garcia?
I don't know what the fuck Corey did.
He was complaining
about how his gambling app wasn't working right. Maybe he's not working right. Who the fuck knows? Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So, you know, the split decision didn't make any sense. But do you guys get the feeling that Danny Garcia, you know, as of late, you know, he's always been a counterpuncher. He's not a volume guy. But he has a complacent fighting style, because this particular fight, I felt like he should have went for the gusto and, you know, kind of went for the stoppage, right? Because, like,
that guy looks so much bigger than him, though.
He looked so much bigger and stronger than Garcia, though, man.
He really did.
How the fuck did Jose Benavidez ever make 140?
No idea.
How the fuck was that possible?
Monster, man. He's huge.
He's big, bro.
Yeah.
Well, how does Benavidez make 168? So, like, it's in the family. Big weight cuts are in the family.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy, too? Jose Benavidez is kind of, like, ripped, kind of cut up, right? And David's kind of smooth. Like, David.
Are you guys serious right now? Hang on here. Talk Trends just said, are you guys serious? We only got 35 likes on this? Seriously? Guys, come on, man. We come to you guys every Sunday. Beep does shows throughout the week. He's getting, Hasim Rahman on and everybody else. But come on, guys.
95 people watching and only 35.
Man, we don't even ask you to donate.
This is almost as bad as Jake Paul pulling out of a fight with a week to go. I mean,
this is almost like this, like lying about a contract, you know what I'm saying, and lying about your weight. You know what I mean?
Street justice.
Lying, you know? It's just come on, man, guys.
street justice.
Somebody said, there goes my life. All right, 914, we're going to get rolling, man. Let's bring in Robert here, see if he makes any sense.
Well, I'm going to try to make
Robert.
Sense. How are you guys?
What's happening, man?
Am I right here, Robert?
No, he's not right.
Yeah.
Give me one of your patented, I agree with Beeb on this one. Give it to me.
Yeah, no.
So you agree with a guy lying on the contract, never intending to make weight. You agree with that?
First of all, Eric, here's my opinion on the whole subject. Rockman knew from the very beginning he couldn't make weight. So he signed the contract. But he decided to
fake
it.
Makes him a liar, right?
He decided to fake it, go ahead and sign the contract, and this is what he gets. You know, he basically lied.
What he gets, son?
Yeah, this is what
lied.
He gets. Now, this brings up another
subject. Say it
subject.
Again, he lied, son.
This brings up another subject in regards to weight. The proposed fight with Eubank and Ben at 156, that's another weight deal.
Doesn't matter. They're signing the contract at 156. If Chris Eubank comes in at 170 at the weigh-in, that fight ain't happening, right?
No, well,
would you agree with that?
No, I would not agree with that.
You think that fight goes on. If he comes in at 156, Eubank weighs in at 170-something, the day of the weigh-in, you think that fight goes on?
No, I didn't say that.
Boom, there you go. I done told you that. That's what I'm telling you.
Eric is like a fucking prosecuting attorney.
I firmly believe, I don't care how much money is involved, that fight should not take place. That's
not up to you. They're signing contracts, son.
Well,
they're signing a 156-pound contract.
I hope they don't.
What are you going to do, Robbie? You going to get a petition going and try to block the fight?
I think Conor Ben's career will be over if he takes that fight.
Wow.
Once again, now you're wishing you.
That's messed up, man. I said a lot of messed up stuff, man, but that takes it, man. That's messed up.
Now you're going for your Grim Reaper, your Grim Reaper persona now. It's telling people that their lives are going to be
over. By the way, let me do the Grim Reaper on that J.D. Murdaugh, the stupid referee that made the stupid decision to stop that fight last night.
How'd you know his name? I didn't even know his name.
Hell no. That fight.
It's not a good thing when you know these referees' name, man. You in the bag, too?
How'd you know his name?
How'd you know his name?
Was you Instagram stalking him? He was Instagramming him, wasn't you?
You associate with people like
look,
guys who freaking
you're trying to peek him out.
Acts during a fight?
No.
You're in the bag, too.
All,
you know he was in the bag.
First of all, they said his name at the beginning of the fight. And then the caller that said that the referee did not give him
any
commands.
Did you write
it down? Did
you write it down? Like, how do you
write him?
He could have said it 50 times. I'm not paying attention to that.
I didn't pay attention to it. I don't know his name.
Yeah, no, J.D. Murdaugh.
He was Instagramming,
like,
dude. Trust me, he was
Instagramming.
Could have
been like Candyman. They could have said it 20 times. I wouldn't have fucking remembered it.
Did you run across him on Tinder? I mean, how do you know him? Like,
how do you know this guy?
Right.
Are you friends on Facebook?
Would you swipe right on him or something like that? What did you do?
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. They said his name at the beginning of the fight, and he did give Bartholomew commands, and he did follow them. I don't know why the hell he stopped that fight. I don't know if there'll be a rematch, but there should be.
I think there should be, too. I agree with Beeb, though. I think that Russell's going to bypass that one and it was a good fight. They were both fighting really hard. It was a close fight. I thought that
Yeah.
Russell was losing at the point of the stoppage, but
I had Bartholomew winning. I had him winning also. Yeah.
That was
Bartholomew looked good. He looked good last.
I thought he looked real good.
He did.
Really good.
That knockdown would make things a lot interesting on the scorecards, and man.
And Danny Garcia is not going to be very successful at 154.
Wow.
He's been off
That's
more
rough.
Than he can chew here.
He won last night. Unanimous decision. Majority decision.
He got a chance, man.
Yeah, geez.
Tony Harrison will. Tony Harrison will.
On everybody today.
Right?
Tony Harrison will.
Yeah, I would like to see him fight Tony Harrison.
Yeah.
I would love
to
see him fight Tony Harrison.
He'll win. Tony Harrison will win.
That's rough.
He cannot compete at 154. He proved that last night by calling out Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman's at 147, questionably, because you don't know when he's going to fight either.
Did you know that Gary Russell was, excuse me, Gary Antoine Russell was down on all three scorecards at the time of the stoppage?
Well, I believe it because that's how I had it.
Yeah. 48-47, 49-46, 49-46 twice.
Yeah,
wow.
No. Bartholomew was down.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, Bartholomew was down. Bartholomew was down 47-48, 46-49, 46-49. Oh, sorry. So he was the guy that was down.
How Spider Son.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
How I'm
Spider.
Sorry. I apologize. I read it wrong.
That was terrible. That was a terrible stoppage.
He was trying to do his job, man. He was trying to do his job. What's the matter with you?
Did a terrible job. Terrible job.
What about Kanowski? You think he should go on, or are you going to retire him?
No, I think Adam should continue. I think the problem with heavyweights especially, you cannot be out of the ring for long periods of time. I believe the last time he fought was last October, and from October to July, that's not good, especially for a heavyweight. If you want to be serious about contending, you've got to fight more often. I think that's what Adam's problem was last night.
Robbie, are you on any dating apps like Grindr or
that
other one?
Hell no.
No? How come?
No.
Self out there, son. A whole lot of ladies coming to your house at night.
I haven't found any good ones.
That's why you've been looking. You got to look on the. You got to get the maps like Beeb, man. Beeb got a ton of them.
Yeah, tons of honey dips.
When all else fails, you go to the Swedish massage parlors, man. You get taken care of.
That's right. You got any of those out there?
I'm sure we
out
do somewhere. I'm sure we do somewhere.
Sure we do. Yeah, I got you, man. Don't worry about it.
From what I'm hearing, you know exactly where all those places are.
That's what I heard too.
So let's.
I heard you was a regular at them places.
You can stop fronting anytime now, Robbie.
Yeah.
Penny says time massage places too.
By the way, to answer your question on Bill Russell, 11 championships in 13 years.
I already said he won 11 titles. My question was, how many did he win as a coach? I couldn't remember how many he won as a coach.
He won 11
Where's
as
your
a player.
Now?
Well, hang on. He won 11 as a player, and his last year that he was a player in 1969, he was the player coach of the Celtics. So he got credit for winning as a player, and he also got credit for winning as a coach.
How many did he win as a coach, Robbie?
That's the only championship that he won as a coach in 1969. That was also
the answer is one.
Yeah.
The answer is one, correct? Okay,
exactly.
Thank you. That's all I was asking.
Yeah.
That's all I was asking.
All right.
All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold here.
See you later.
As usual, good call. Good call from Robert. Horrible call. I didn't want to say that. I didn't see any need to trample over him. You know what I'm saying? I mean...
That's not the truth, man.
Cold-blooded, man.
Can't lie to people. You think you're yelling at freaking Haseem Rockman for lying, but you're going to lie to Robbie. Come on.
I'm just saying. Haseem lied to me. He lied to you, too. He told you straight to your face, Beeb, like, yeah, I'm on point with the weight. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't even close to being on point. He had a whole plate in front of him when he was talking to you.
He was never going to make 200.
He had a whole plate in front of him when he was talking to you, son. He knew he wasn't making weight. Knew it.
That's like Amber Lynn saying she's going to give up sex. Never going to happen.
Who's Amber Lynn? Is that one of them porn stars?
You don't know who Amber Lynn is?
Isn't she a porn star?
One of the
80s porn stars or something like that?
One of the most famous.
What, you just watch
stars?
Like 80s porn? I mean, you haven't watched anything from like this?
I got it all. I got it all, man. Depends on the day what I want to watch.
Depends on the day.
Don't put limitations on me.
Hey, you always, what's that Asian chick you like? That Asia Carrera or whatever her name is? You talk about she
Asia
was
Carrera.
Back in the 80s. Yeah, she tore up now, son. You're still talking. You're still living in the
past.
You
know who else I love? I like Lily Tai, too, man. Lily Tai. Oh, my God. She's probably my favorite right now.
She's your favorite porn star?
Yeah.
Think of you having a favorite porn star. Think of that. Think of you having a favorite, like, actress. Like, she does all the stuff I like, so I, like, watch her movies all the time. What's the matter with you?
Eric?
Hey, you need to get out the house, son.
Eric, if I had access to your laptop, I'm sure there's a lot of things I could find on there, too. So let's not pretend.
Oh, there's tons of stuff you'll find. But I got a Mac slot, and I'm covered. You know what I'm saying? I cover my tracks.
Oh, I love Terry Patrick, too. I love Terry Patrick.
Now the chat has gone. Now the chat has gone south with Beeb.
Tara Patrick is awesome. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, like 50 years ago.
Cut it out! Come on.
I'm telling you, you've seen Asia Carrera now. She's like busted up, man.
Asia Carrera is timeless.
That's not what her face says. I'll tell you that.
Come on, please.
Saying, man. Saying. There it is. Me too, son. Me too. Show some respect, Beeb. Misogynist. Out with you. All right. Let's get on to the next topic. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor 2. The fight has – there's conflicting reports on this. The fight is said to be in talks. Dana White said it's nonsense. So Floyd was crowing about having a couple more tune-up type fights, you know, those exhibitions in Japan or whatever he does. He was crowing about that. And then he said later on this year he wants to have a sanctioned fight. Right? This would be an option for a sanctioned fight, him and McGregor, right? You know, I know that there'll be interest in it, but it will be nowhere near as interesting. Nowhere near as interesting as it was the first time around.
I think it would do maybe 1.5 million pay-per-view buys.
Wow, you think that many?
Maybe. Him and Logan Paul did a million.
Yeah. Lil Penny says he only thinks it does 800,000.
I think it does 1.5.
I gotta tell you, man. I think it does more. I think it does a little bit more too. Oh man, I hate that. But you know, listen. The bottom line is Dana White can say this nonsense all he wants. The bottom line is if there's money to be made, like a lot of money to be made, that fight will happen. I don't think there's any question about it. I didn't think it could be put together the first time around. Surely it would be easier to put it together the second time around, right?
I wonder if I'm sure Showtime would buy it again, right?
Yeah. And if McGregor loses, I mean, you know, McGregor's coming off
broken leg?
Broken leg. Yeah, right. It's like a leg injury he's coming off of.
It's right? Pretty bad, right?
Yeah. So if he fights in the UFC and he loses or whatever, man, it's going to be tough. It would be tough. If I were McGregor, I would think he's going to make a lot more money fighting Floyd than fighting anybody in the UFC right now. So.
Yeah.
Precisional Power says Floyd versus Conor does 10,000 Dogecoin buys. That penny stock.
That's crazy.
Right. All right, let's talk about a real fight here. Well, not yet, but they're trying. They're trying, man. Your boy, Oscar De La Hoya. Leonard Ellerbe says that De La Hoya is not trying to make the Tank fight. Oscar's basically asserting that Tank and Ryan Garcia should be equal. LRB says that's nonsense because Tank is a proven commodity on pay-per-view. He sold over 100,000 pay-per-views each time out, which is, you know, respectable. And also too, you know, he's fought, as far as gates go, he pulls in a bigger gate as far as the money draws and everything like that. So LRB does have a point here, and Tank is the more recognized fighter. I think Tank is the more recognized fighter. Now, not that Ryan Garcia is not, but I just think that with titles and everything else, all this stuff has to factor in. All this stuff matters.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can really be equal on equal footing here. You're not equal. It just is.
I don't think they're even.
No, I don't think so either. And not to mention, Garcia's never been on pay-per-view, never headlined a pay-per-view.
Never. Hasn't been active. He's never won a world title. Never.
It's a tough, you know, it's a tough response. So do you think Oscar prevents this fight from happening?
You know what the problem here is? I think it's bigger than Oscar. I think the zone, after losing this Joshua fight, I think they're going to probably be more protective of their fighters. I think they're going to be more resistant to allow fighters to go over and fight. Like they're going to have more of a say. I think the zone is going to start blocking fights, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
So I think this is bigger than De Laurier. I think this could be a DAZN issue, in my opinion. They're going to want some type of compensation or some type of some piece of the deal.
That's got to be worked out in all that too. You know.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure that.
But is Garcia signed? Garcia's not signed a DAZN. He signed with Golden Boy, but a promoter is signed with it. I get what you're saying.
But this is what happened, right? I think Leonard Ellerbe tweeted that out. Says Garcia is not signed to DAZN. He's signed to Golden Boy. And Joe Murkowski tweeted out, "I dare to correct you, sir." So I'm sure, you know. Again, he's attached to DAZN because of Golden Boy, regardless, anyways. But Joe Murkowski replied to Leonard Ellerbe's tweet, basically saying, "So what I gather from that tweet from Joe Murkowski is, we're not just going to give you Ryan Garcia without getting anything back."
Right. That's what I gather.
That's what I gather from the tweet. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I don't think this fight's happening. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's happening.
I want it to happen.
It ain't happening.
And the only time
when this is going to happen is when Garcia's contract runs out and he leaves Oscar. And he'd be an idiot to not leave Oscar right now.
And here's another thing too, when you look at it, right? They talk about how fights can be co-promoted. De La Hoya is throwing these fights out there like Lewis Tyson, Pacquiao, Mayweather. But this is not that. So it's a good fight, but it's not one of those fights where the pot is big enough where you could probably chop it up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. It's not that big of a fight yet. You know, you still got a ways to go. But I think it's a good crossroads. I think it's a good fight. I think it's good for both of those guys. And that fight ain't happening anytime, though. Tell you that.
Yeah.
And which is a shame. And again, this is always a what? This is always a De La Hoya issue.
Golden Boy always happens with
Golden Boy fighters. Always.
That's true.
You cannot get a big fight done. Unless it's in-house, that fight is not getting done. And it's because he comes out and he wants to pay very little to the guy who's not, you know what I mean? Obviously that's his job, is to get the advantage for these guys, right? I get it. That's really not even his job though. It's his manager's job to get,
you know,
it's funny
when you have all these guys like, you know, Jake Paul, De La Hoya coming out and criticizing fighter pay, right?
Yeah.
But look what De La Hoya did when he had that UFC card. Like,
oh yeah, that was horrible.
How much did those guys make, right? So,
yeah, everybody made lousy money on that, except the two main eventers.
Well, I don't even think the main eventers. I think Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell, they made like $150,000 to $200,000 a piece, and they were making millions when they were in the UFC. So how are you going to sit there and say Dana White's not paying fighters when you took two of his fighters and you're paying them less than what they? Paying him, like, and I think Dana White came out and did a video, and he was like, yeah, and he said Chuck Liddell's last fight, he made like $1.5 million or something like that. And this was him in a losing streak. And same thing with Tito Ortiz, made like $1 million or $2 million or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and who knows what those guys make? I mean, like I said, I was watching that Daniel Cormier did an interview where he was talking about when he fought John Jones, like a couple days later, Dana just sent him $1 million, like $1 million check. He says, you have no idea what these dudes make. He says that they'll post the salary, but on the back end, when they start getting like pay-per-view money and everything, like this is just their salary. They get stuff on top of that too. So they get compensated pretty well. You know?
Yeah, you're only seeing the guarantees.
I would venture to say they get paid better than most fighters do. In the UFC, if you take the average UFC guy and you take the average boxer, not the average Floyd Mayweather, the average boxer, I guarantee the UFC probably makes more. Guaranteed.
Across the board,
I think
the undercard gets paid more than the undercard in boxing.
For sure.
I would agree with that.
For sure.
I would
agree. So anybody like trashing the UFC in the way they pay their fighters and everything, they need to look again, man. Because none of those guys, I mean, everybody thinks they're underpaid. You know, you and I are both underpaid. We all think we're underpaid. You know, it just is. But, you know, in reality, those guys get a good wage, you know. So there you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.